I receive your life in Jesus' name. Amen. And that's what church is about. It's about people coming together. We're the body. It's about the body coming together and us building one another up, encouraging one another. And so, you can come as early as 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning and be built up. I'm working it. Announcements, 9 o'clock, Sunday morning prayer, 9:30, growing in Him. 10:30, this is what you get. Tuesday, and there's kids club over there, Super Blessings downstairs. Tuesday, September 25th. You can all read this, right? Everybody can read this? Okay, so this is what's going on. Okay. Don't change it on me. Tuesday, there's dinner with the youth at 6, and then they're going next door to the arena for a night's game. And Wednesday, this is important, there is no church service on Wednesday. There is a school conference, and most of the pastors will be there, so we won't have a service Wednesday night.
Or
prayer. Yeah. There won't be prayer either. That doesn't mean you can't pray, just not here. Okay, and then it's birthdays and anniversaries. Tim and Anita Mills, the 29th. They're not here, are they?
And we got their anniversary wrong, but we did sing to him.
We did sing to him. Okay. So it's the 29th. Bonnie, today. Yay! Get it back for me. Beck and Perks, today. Woo! Gavin Davies, today. John LaFontaine, tomorrow. Charity Trotter, on Tuesday. Dave Bennett, on Wednesday. This is a busy week. Frank Guest, on Wednesday. Oh, come on. And James Vandergast, on the 30th. So we'll sing happy birthday. You a happy birthday. Wanna wish you a happy birthday. We wanna wish you a happy birthday from the bottom of our hearts. We wanna wish you a happy birthday. Wanna wish you a happy birthday. We wanna wish you a happy birthday from the bottom of our hearts.
Amen.
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 I could just sit here today.
Yes.
Do you guys have a song? You want to sing one more song? I'll shut that off.
This has just been coming up in my heart, so I pulled it out. No, let's see. When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's a word that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, 'cause it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
You're sorry, Lord,
for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
No one can express how much you deserve. You're everything. All I have is yours. Every single breath.
So I'll bring you more than a song. For a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within to the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. When it's all about you,
Jesus,
it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
I'll bring you song.
For a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within to the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming heart of worship, and it's all about you,
Jesus.
It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
It's all about you.
It's all about you,
Jesus.
It's all about you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
It's all about you,
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Well, I want to thank you for coming today. We're blessed to have our church family. We're blessed to have all the people to help. This is not about me here. Every one of us has our part, and that's what makes a church a family. I've had some things in my heart, and I want to start here. I see things different in the scripture than, like, everybody interprets things differently, right? You can have two or three people that read the same scripture and they see something completely opposite in it. That's why I love preaching about Job, because Job went through a lot of things in life. But I don't see what most people see in Job. Most people see what I don't see. What I see, and I'm just saying it, is I see that Job never quit. And because he never quit, he ended up seeing what God and who God really is. And I've always shared this. I've always had things in my heart, and that's how I've always preached. But I feel this morning that in my heart, there's people here that just aren't 100% happy in life. And the one thing you can't do is quit. Because a winner never quits, but a quitter, he'll never win. And that just goes for life, God, everything. You just can't quit. And I want to, if you want to turn your Bibles with me, I got a couple of scriptures here, and you're going to wonder, what in the world, where am I going? But I just had to look through it when I was up here, because I've always learned to again, preach, just share out of my heart, and because I know what God wants people to have today, and He wants people to have peace. In the midst of a life that's full of turmoil and that doesn't have, like, I don't really listen to the news. Not that I'm against the news. I just, if I do listen to TV, I'd rather listen to something I like than watch about everything that's really going on, because I've never ever tried to make my life by what's going on in the world. I've never tried to, you know, go on holidays because, well, let me tell you, I remember I was planned to go on a, how many people remember 911? Terrible, terrible, tragic day. I watched it, and I was, back then it just devastated everybody and everything. And I was planning to go preaching in Ireland through Heathrow. And it was the United States and England is where all the major flying was and the trouble. And anyways, I had to fly out 1 week after 911. And I had people say to me, are you going to fly out? Still fly? And I said, of course I'm going to fly. Well, you know why? Because I've always said this, and I say this all the time, but the world, and when I say the world, I don't mean the world, like, but God thinks one way, and the world's thinking just thinks another way. One's full of faith, and one's full of fear, is the bottom thing. Reason most people don't do things is because they're afraid. But the reason you don't have to be afraid is because we've got God, and the Bible says this, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Has things gone wrong in my life? Oh yeah, a lot of things have went wrong. Has everything worked great in my life? No, it hasn't worked great in my life. I've had lots of things that I felt like quitting at the time in my life. But because I didn't quit, I was able to see what God said come true in my life, and He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and He's real. And I believe that. The Bible says that He gives His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. I believe that. I actually believe. Well, just turn with me for a minute. I want to show you this, because see, faith begins where the will of God is known. And if you go through life and you're full of fear, you're not full of faith. And faith is what receives from God. And I'm not being smart, because see, you can be the most intelligent person or have the most education, and you can be so brilliant. But that being smart or being a really good person doesn't even receive from God. How do you receive from God? Is it's nothing of you, and it's what God's given to you, because God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. And when you hear the word of God, that's what's inside of you. See, I used to go to church all the time, and I never, ever really believed it. Like, I mean, I didn't think I did. But all of a sudden, one day, something happened, and all of that that was inside of me, I began to believe it, and it changed my life. But up until that point, nothing changed in my life because I didn't put faith in it. And the reason people go through life today so sad is because they don't have faith. Because they're fearful of tomorrow. They don't have joy. Where does the Bible say joy comes from? The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. What, when things go wrong in life, I'm being honest, when things go wrong in life, what does it do to you? When things go wrong, what's it do? It wears you down. Especially if you don't cast things down. It comes against your mind. I know everybody in here, there's probably hardly anybody in here that's had things go wrong. Am I the only one that's ever had anything go wrong in their life? Well, I want to tell you, just this week, we've been working like dogs. And that's not nobody's fault but my own. Because you commit to this work, and you just got to do it. And it's wonderful. It's a blessing from God. It's actually God said he blessed what you put your hand to. So, but some of this work that we had to do, and I'll just tell you one little thing that happened just this week. And it's not a big deal, but it is a big deal if you think about it. Because see, and so we had to do shorelines because we only have a deadline, and we've had eight or nine, Harry, shorelines we've had to do in the last 2.5 weeks. And that's like one shoreline we did this week was 75 tons we carried by hand. By hand. But on a barge, and then pick every rock off of a barge. What, 15 dump truck loads? Like my little dump truck, not big dump trucks, but that's a lot of rocks. So it just takes time. And so when you're under time, what happens? You get pressure, right? And then you know this, if you don't make people happy, and this guy was a really good guy we were working for, but he had high expectations as well. I said, they're rocks. Anyways, but I said, whatever you want, we'll do it. And so anyways, we're trying to get it done. So we should have been done really in 2 days, and we ended up barging for 5 days. Which is no big deal. The only big deal is that I have 6 more to do in 1 week now. Or not 6 now. We did do another one on Friday. And so anyways, on Wednesday, was it Wednesday? I think it was Wednesday. It had to be Wednesday. I go over to make sure the guy's happy. And I get there and talk, and he's very happy at what we're doing, but we're not finished. And so I watched the guys go across the lake in the barge. And all of a sudden, I don't see them moving anymore. And I'm looking at them, and I wonder, what are they doing? Because they did have their fishing poles with them. And that's a true story. And I'm wondering, and I all of a sudden, I knew what would happen. Because I could see. And it's out there a long ways, right in the middle of the lake, but I could see because all of a sudden they just quit. And then the barge started to just float. And it turned sideways, and I saw there's no motor on it. That's right. The motor fell off, went to the bottom of the lake. Now listen to this. I'm watching them. I already knew what happened. And I'm watching them, but they're not phoning me. Because nobody wants to tell me that they're in the middle of the lake with no motor. Because I told them every day, just make sure you tighten that up. And I'm not saying they didn't. They did. And so it's just one of those things, right? So now you're under pressure, right? Have you ever been under pressure? For time. I don't mean anything else. If you don't get the job done, you're not going to get paid, and you've already put a lot of time and effort and money into this. And now you only got a week left to do so much more. And now the thing that runs your barge is now gone. And it's another $3,000 to get another one. So all of a sudden, Caleb phones me about 15 minutes later. They probably drew straws or something. But they already know. I already know. I'm waiting. I'm standing on shore watching them. And he says, hey, Dad. I said, something wrong? I made him tell me. Yeah. I said, you have any issues with the motor? It fell off. I said, okay, well, do you need me to help you clean it? I knew it was gone. It's at the bottom of the lake, Dad. I said, all right, let me figure something out. So I wanted to be, because I just, like, and I'm not, and they did it. But you can ask Michael. They did what I asked them. But I just, in my mind, I just finished telling them, like 10 minutes, did I not, Mike, just before you just left, make sure you tighten the motor. And they did tighten the motor. So it was just one of those things. I don't even know why it fell off. And so I didn't say a word, but I wanted to say a word, right? So I just said, I didn't even say anything to Caleb other than this. I said, okay, well, let me just figure something out. So I ended up having to borrow a boat from a cottager and go get them and drag them in. And I never still said nothing, did I, Michael? I just not even talked to them because I didn't want to say anything bad. Right? Because the Bible says out of our heart will flow the issues of our life, and life and death are in the power of the tongue. So we say things when we're under pressure that we regret later, and it'll dictate our life. And so I just went, and I just, on the way in, I just phoned different places, and I found a motor, and I just went and bought a motor. In 1 hour, they were going again. But this time I stopped, and I bought a drill. I didn't buy a drill. I brought a drill. And I bolted this one on. And we put a chain on it. And when I was done, I said to them, guys, it's not your fault. It's just a part of life. Let's get the job done and go. Go to work. I wanted to say, that's life issues is what causes most people to have joy. Or no joy. Because a lot of people say, have said to me, a lot of people, well, everything's good in your life, that's why you're always happy. You have no idea about my life. What people, the things I have to say. Do you know that God, because, I want to tell you something. Because I believe God, that is the only way you can rest. Turn with me, and I want to read something else. Turn with me to Hebrews for a minute. I got to find it. But Hebrews chapter 4 says this. Let us fear, in verse 1. Let us fear, lest a promise being left of us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Now, I want to ask you this question. How in the world can you live in this life when everything's going wrong? Not everything. Everything doesn't go wrong in my life. But when things in life go wrong, because they do, we have people that fail you. People will tell you things and they can't do it. Or they'll disappoint you. Just in life. How can you have rest? The only way you can have rest is to have confidence or trust in God is the only way. It is the only way. Is to roll. That's right. The Bible says to roll your cares over on the Lord, for He cares for you. So the only way you can do that is not allow or take this life on. Whether it's money, whether it's this, or whether it's that, or whether you just roll it over on God. Because the Bible says here, for unto us was given the gospel preached, as well as unto them. So the gospel, the word of God, I believe this. And I believe this because not only do I believe this, I've seen it work in my life. But the Bible says heaven and earth will pass, but my words won't, right? So the word of God is true. I didn't know how the Bible was true when I was growing up, but I've lived with God and I've lived without God. I've served God and I've done a lot of things that I probably shouldn't have that were against God. So, and my life is way better now than it ever was then. But how come the Bible says here, because see, I see the same people, like people. People are people. So the Bible says here, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word of God did not profit them. So the Bible says heaven and earth will pass, but my word won't. The Bible says that the name of Jesus, everything in heaven and earth will bow to the word of God, right? Everything will bow to the word. Everything has to come under the authority of the name of Jesus, right? How come the Bible says the word didn't profit some people, but it did profit other people? Because some people put faith in it, and some people didn't. Right? And it's really important, and the only way that we can go through this life and have peace in a life when everything doesn't work the way we want it to is to have faith in God and rest in Him. That's the only place in the whole Bible. If you'll read down here, the Bible says here, because the word did not profit them because they didn't mix faith in them that heard it. How come Jesus, the Bible says when He came into His, the Bible says everywhere Jesus went, He went about healing and doing good and healing all manner of sickness, right? For God was with Him. But the Bible says in His own hometown, Jesus couldn't do anything because they wouldn't believe. So our faith in God has everything to do with us receiving from God. Everything. See, this is why I wanted to read this scripture. So now, the Bible says here, for unto us it was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word didn't profit them because they didn't believe it. So you can have four people in the home. See, I was the most unlikely, and this is why I'm so confident in this, is because I wasn't educated. I was messed up when I came to God. I didn't have what other people had. But one thing I had is when I give my heart to Jesus, I went from a messed up, like from drinking every day and drugs and just everything and brokenness and insecurities inside of me. And I got born again. And I started to believe what I heard. And people mocked me. I had people make fun of me. Because they called me a name it and a claim it guy. You're just serving God because you want money. Because you're talking about prosperity. Well, I want to tell you something. I give more money. I live so I can give. And you know, I want to ask you something. And I say this because I'm more confident today than I was back then. And that's only comes to God's word. If you don't have anything, how in the world can you help people when they're in need? And no wonder the enemy tries to get people to not believe in prosperity, because if they're broke, they can't help anything. They can't send missionaries. They can't help people
in any area because they ain't got nothing. So isn't that a real good thing of the enemy? Come right in the church and tell people, if you love money, and the Bible says if you love money, money is the root of all evil. I don't love money. I love God. And money is just a tool to make a difference in life while we're here. So I had people mock me for money. I had people mock me because of healing, because I believed in healing. I had people make fun of me because I couldn't read and I couldn't write. I had people make fun of me because I couldn't speak properly. And you know what I didn't do? Do you know the one thing I didn't do? I didn't quit. I was the worst youth pastor in the world. I didn't know what to do. I mean, thank God for Josh and April. Like, they run a really good ship. They do a wonderful job, and they're faithful, and God's blessed their lives. But when I did it, I just did it because that's God said to help the kids here. I mean, I took people across borders without anything. No paperwork, no letters from mom and dad. Then they would get drinking down there. They'd end up in the hospital. And I would go. Remember that time we had to, were you with me? When we had to go beg? I was begging, please, please don't throw them in jail. Americans aren't the same as Canadians. Like, they take things more serious is what I mean. Not that Canadians don't take things serious, but we're pretty laid back people. The American police weren't real. They didn't take it as a joke. These kids are having fun. And I said, look, these kids don't have nothing. Here I'm trying to help them. They did wrong. Like, I did everything wrong. But I did the best I knew what to do. And I didn't quit. And because I didn't quit, I began to win. In spite of me not doing things right. You know, a lot of people try God. A lot of people try to believe for healing. A lot of people try to believe God for their family. And then they see their family. They see their body. They see this. And then they quit. And you know this as much as I know this. But if the Bible didn't profit them, or the Word did not profit them, what was the difference between the two people? The people that didn't profit them, they didn't believe God. How come Jesus, here's God, sent in a bodily form to mankind, the Son of God, and he's in his own hometown, and the Bible says he couldn't even do anything there because they wouldn't what? They wouldn't believe. See, and this is why I see this scripture different. Now turn over here where I was in 1 Corinthians. Where was I? 1 Corinthians 12? 2 Corinthians 12, maybe. I'll find it and I'll let you know. Right here. I want to show you this. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 12. It says here, if you just read in verse 11, I'll read it really fast because it says this. This is Paul speaking. Because I want to encourage people today. You're going to think, what kind of encouragement is this today? But I speak as concerning reproach, as though we have been weak. Howbeit, is that up there? You guys can probably read better than me. You shouldn't put it up there, just in case they see I read it all wrong. No, I'm joking. No, put it up there. And it says here, he said, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes, above measure in prison, more frequent in deaths oft of the Jews. Now this is, he's just sharing a little bit about his life, right? Right? Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice I was beaten with a rod. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often in perils, of waters in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heat. What's in perils? in lots of trouble, right? That's what I would say. The guy had sort of a troubled life. Wouldn't you say? And then it says here, in perils in wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. What's false brethren? People that you think they're your friends, but what they're doing is really trying to hurt you behind your back. Have you ever had a friend like that? I have. I've had lots of friends like that over my life. You think you're helping them and you think they're your friend, and then they just do what they can to try to hurt you. It says, in weariness, in painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness, beside those that are without, in which cometh upon me daily the care of all the churches. Who is weak? I'm not weak. Who is offended? And I burn not. If I must need glory, I will glory in the things which concern my infirmity. So what he's saying, even though all these things went wrong in my life, I'm still going to give God credit. Now, I just want to show you, I want to show you this. Now, turn over, because I don't want to read the whole thing, because I don't want you to be bored too much. But it says here in chapter 12 now, that was 11, sorry. Well, I was going to. Was it not up there? Oh, so now I'm in chapter 12, and I'm going to read from verse 7. That was chapter 11, sorry. And it says here, I tricked you, so you couldn't follow me. No, it says here in chapter 12 now, it says, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, I want to stop right there, and I want to tell you this. See, I've heard lots of people preach about this. But I want to ask you a question. And I want to ask you a question, because you have to settle this if you're ever going to believe God. Do you think that when you pray today and ask God to do something, that he comes off the throne, Jesus does, and he comes down to earth, and he fixes something for you? Because he doesn't. Now, I want to say this, because this is where faith begins, where the will of God is known. Now, the Bible says when Jesus was on the cross, that he took the stripes on his back for our healing, right? We got 15 minutes. I'm going to read it. Go turn to Isaiah for a minute, and I'm going to find it again. 53. Thank you, Mr. Dave. But Isaiah 53, I'm going to read this really short. Because see, what Jesus did, do you know when I go, like yesterday, I went and, just with that motor, forget yesterday. I went and bought that motor for the boys on the barge. Just because I paid for that, when they use it more than once a day, do they have to go and pay the guy again? No. Why? Because I paid for it. I bought it. I asked him how much he wanted, and I give him the full price he asked for, because I needed it right there. I wasn't even going to bargain. So I give him what he wanted. I grabbed the motor. I brought it back. And even if they use it 100 times, they don't have to ever pay for it again. Why? Because it's been paid for. Well, Jesus came, and the Bible says this in Isaiah 53. Now, you listen, because see, I talk, because everybody's called to something different. And what I mean called to something different? Every pastor, every preacher, there's gifts in the body. There's teachers, there's pastors, there's prophets, there's lots of different people, right? In the body. And I know I'm a pastor, because that's my name, right? That's what I am. That's the gift. What's a pastor? Is he the smart one? No. Is he the best preacher? Absolutely not. What he is? What's a pastor? A pastor cares for people. And I care for you. I love people. I love people whether they love Jesus or they don't. I love people that are out there that are dirty. That tell me, I've had people say to me, I don't even believe there is a God. You know what? My heart goes out to them. You know why? The reason they're saying that is because they've had a rotten life. And they've had a terrible, maybe father or a terrible something happened, or they've lost kids. And me telling them what I think isn't going to help them. God, give me compassion. That's what a pastor has, is compassion for people. When I see people, something else God's put inside of me. And you guys might not even know this, but when I see a weirdo come in this church, I never say a word to them, but I see them. And I watch them. And I won't let them come up here and preach. God's put that inside of me. I see them. I see them the minute. And they're the nicest. Oh, we love you. We're so glad we're here. God told us to come here and support you. And I'm like, wonderful. Thank good to have you. But I see the truth. Because I don't want them to mislead other people. That's a pastor. That's the gift within me. I'm not the greatest pastor or preacher, but I am a pastor, and I do love people. And I do believe the Bible. And the Bible says this, and see Jesus, not only did he at the cross pay for your salvation and shed the blood to cover your sins, and he took the stripes on his back for your healing. But you know what? There's more tormented people in their mind today than ever. Depression is huge today. Why? Because there's so much going wrong in people's lives. Because the Bible says the devil is out to steal, to kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and to have it more abundantly. Jesus said here, Jesus came, and you got to realize this. When Jesus came to earth, he took your sorrow. He took it on him. The Bible says here, he was despised and he was rejected of men. He was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. We hid our faces from him. Have you ever had people hide from you? Because they don't want to be known with you? I've had people hide from me. We esteemed him not. Surely he bore our griefs. He carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we were healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So what Jesus did at the cross, you got to understand this. That Jesus was the Bible says he was tempted in every manner you were tempted with. He was tempted with stealing. He was tempted with lust. He was tempted with cheating. He was tempted with adultery. He was tempted with pride. He was tempted with suicide. The Bible says because he was tempted in every manner we were. But he was without sin. So he took on at the cross. I don't understand it all, but I believe it. And that's why it's changed my life. Because you can't philosophically figure out everything. You can't do it. Just watch. My wife had 10 babies in front of me. Or no, that's not true. I seen about 6 of them. Just watch that and try to figure that out. How 2 little pieces of whatever get together, and all of a sudden the babies, this big around, like just a speck. And it starts to grow in water. Like, that's what doesn't get my mind. If you take a person and put them underwater, what happens? They drown. But they still got a mouth and a throat. This is what I think about sometimes. Like, I know they got an umbilical cord that feeds them, but they still got a throat. And they still need air. How do they live inside of a belly? I'm not lying to you. I think about that. Well, you can't figure that all out. That's how big God is. Like, and then you see the baby being born. It's like, wow. I won't even say anything more. Wow. Like the way God created our bodies. Thank God I'm a man. Like, it's a miracle. You can't philosophically figure that out. So that's why people don't receive from God, because they want it to be like Thomas. And Thomas says, I'm not going to believe that Jesus raised from the dead. And so Jesus came to Thomas because Thomas wouldn't believe until he saw it. But Thomas says to him, Jesus comes and finds Thomas and he says, Thomas, look at the nails. Look at the holes. Yeah, not nails, the holes. Look at the spear in my side, the holes, not the spear. Look at Thomas. And he says, Thomas, you've seen this and now you believe. But blessed are those who don't see and yet believe. I want to tell you something. That Jesus at the cross, he did it all. If you're tormented today mentally and you go to sleep at night and you cannot stop thinking about suicide, or you cannot stop thinking about how your life is terrible, and you can't stop thinking about stuff, and you're tormented, how am I ever going to pay the bill? You can't even have a good thought about how your life is going to get better. Jesus took that. He took that. He took it. And you see how he won? He was tormented. He was made fun of. He was mocked. I wasn't a cool kid. I was a loser kid. Even though I thought, why didn't people like me? He was made a loser for mine. He took mine. He took everything that I could be tempted with in life. You know what? He died. And it looked like death itself had won. He took the stripes. He was beaten. But when he arose, he became greater and bigger than everything in life that tried to hold him down. And he gave it to you and me. And when he said this, it is finished. It was finished. And now it's up to you and I to take the Bible and believe it. And it'll change and transform your life. You just cannot quit when things get hard. Because life isn't easy. Things go wrong all the time. Like in life, like I want to tell you something. I'm just going to tell you, it doesn't even matter money. Somebody said to me last week, in the last week, they said something to me about money. People I work for. And I said to people, I don't sue people. I had a guy that paid me, Julie, what? Yesterday, right? The guys owed me money, like a lot of money. For 3 months. And all of a sudden, I was in the middle of two different other people. And now they're going to battle in court. You know what I did? I'm not talking $100. I'm talking $30,000. I phoned the guy, and I said, I don't care about the money. I don't want you and him getting into court over it. So I said, I'll take a loss. I don't even care. Because you're not my source. I said, the Bible says, and I'm telling these guys don't even know God. They think I'm probably crazy. I said, the Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. I said, I'm a peacemaker. I said, it doesn't even matter. I said, I don't even care if I lose $20,000. I said, don't get into, just make peace and let's get out of this. Because there was a contractor and there was a guy doing the work for it, and I was, a guy got a job for a worker, and I did the work. And I was right in the middle. This guy that I did the work for loved everything I did. And this guy just wanted to screw this guy, and he wanted to make as much money as I did and never did nothing. So that's how it ended. And I said, I don't even care. I just want out of it because I don't fight with people. I don't sue people. I'm not going to, I'll give it to you because I grew up like that. Why? How can I do that? Even though I need money just like everybody else. How can I do that? Because my faith is not in mankind. My faith is in God. And the Bible says God supplies my needs. And I go to bed at night and I don't think about that. You know what happened to me yesterday? 3 months now of this. Guy phones me up from New York. And he just says, hey, I'm on my way up and I got all your money. I'm just going to pay you direct. And we're going to forget about the whole thing. And he gave me everything I wanted and he gave me $2,000 more. He said, I've never had anybody like you. And I wrote it off. Because I wasn't fighting with people over nothing. Because I trust God. See, when you trust God, you don't have to do it yourself. God does it. You could be in the middle of the biggest mess. And the hardest place to be in the middle of a mess is trying to do it on your own because you worry and you think and you fret. And then you get angry and you want to fight with people. And the easiest thing you can do is rest and sleep. Because you're going to wake up and you're going to have kids and you're going to enjoy your family. And there's not a thing that them people, even if they don't pay you, is going to do to stop me from enjoying my life. Because my joy does not come from them. It comes from God. And that's where my help comes from, the maker of heaven and earth. I want to tell you something, that we need to rest. Jesus paid the price for it all. And our job is to come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy. God loves people, every one of us. And I feel today, this morning when I started, that there's a lot of torment going on in our minds because that's where the battle is, even with me. The battle is not in my heart or in my body because your body will always want to do what your body wants to do and your heart will always want to do what God wants it to do, and it's your mind that will decide you're going to go with your heart or you're going to go with your body. Where's the torment when you're laying down at night? Where's the torment? In your toe? Where is it? It's in your mind. It's going over and over. You're trying to figure it out, trying to figure it out, trying to figure it out, trying to figure it out. The Bible says, cast all your care over the Lord, for he cares for you. Today, take these cares. I don't care what it is. Could be money. It could be family. It could be sorrows. It could be depression. It could be suicide. I don't know what it is. It could be it could be anything. And you just take that and you just roll that over on God because he says, my job is to give you rest. But some people don't receive the rest because they don't believe it. My word didn't even profit only the ones that believed it. But the word was preached to all of them. But only those that believed it enjoyed it. Enjoyed it. enjoyed it. And I want to tell you something. There's times in my life, and I'm being honest with you, that I've done the exact same thing as I did last week or yesterday with that guy where I said, I ain't fighting with you over this, and I've never got money. I don't even care. I don't care because I will never let money or somebody or people or anything stop me from doing what's right. Because when you stop doing what's right, then you stop yourself from receiving from God because now you're not in faith anymore. You're in bitterness and you get angry and you start doing it your way. And my way is way easier. Love, my son asked me questions. My daughters asked me questions. Well, how come, why do I have to do this? Well, I can tell them a lot of reasons. And it's not normal. I'm not like my wife. My wife is so nice and with our kids, I mean. That's right. You're so nice. She tries to explain to them and do this. And I said, because it's the right thing to do. That's it. You know, I don't forgive people because I have a good feeling to forgive people. Because I want to punch people in the face when I forgive them sometimes. I can either punch them or forgive them. How do I forgive them? I do it because it's the right thing to do, and I purpose to get it out of my mind and forget about it. That's what I do. If you think about it, well, what about my feelings? And what about this? And what's right? And what's wrong? Well, who cares? The bottom line is you got to forgive. So just do it. Forget about it. If you go by your feelings, you'll do a lot of bad things. A lot. A lot. You can't. Where does doubt and fear come from? I'm not trying to be funny. I'm serious. Where does doubt and fear come from? It comes from the enemy because we don't see it. We don't feel it. Right? We don't feel it. We don't taste it. Our senses, our five physical senses. Our five physical senses get us into trouble. We can't do that. We got to just do the right thing. And you'll be an overcomer. The Bible says we overcome because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And feelings have nothing to do with it. Does anybody know what I'm talking about today?
Yes, sir.
It really doesn't. Because we're waiting for a feeling to believe in God. We're waiting for a sign. And I'm not saying God makes himself real to people. God draws people to himself. But my life is an amazing life because I've chose to put my faith in God and not in people. That's how I've said this before. That's how come Julie and I have such a great marriage. Because Julie isn't perfect and I ain't perfect. Do you know why? Because my joy comes from God, not from her. Because if your marriage is just about each other, boy, you're going to be happy one day, really happy one day, or for 5 minutes anyways. And then for the next 24 hours, you're going to be really sad. Because she's going to disappoint you. She's not going to cook the way you want. She's going to burn your cookies. She's not going to wash the favorite jeans you want. The only jeans. I said, how come every pair that I actually like, you never wash? Well, they're in the laundry. Yeah, they've been there for 2 weeks. So all I'm saying is joy has to come from God. It can't come from people. So that's why we don't fight. Because I'm certainly not perfect, and she's not perfect, and we get along great. Because my joy comes from God, not from her. But I love her, and I enjoy her, and I can allow her to be her and still love her. Does that make any sense? It certainly is. Well, they're going to be anyway, so. I tried to change people, and you can't do it. You know, some people marry people and say, okay, I'm going to marry them and I'm going to change them. It don't work. Because they don't change. You know who changes people? God does. Because God deals with the heart of the man. The more we push people, usually the worse it is. That's why I don't do marriage counseling anymore. I used to do marriage counseling, and I'd say, you know, like they're in love right now. Like, I mean in love. And I was there too. I could sit in a car with you. I'm sorry, it's 10 minutes after. I'll close. I could sit in a car for 4 hours with Julie and just sit there and look at her. Oh. And it was so wonderful. Now I can't sit with her for 4 hours. I love her. Like, our life is great. But I mean, we just sit there and do not. I got too many things to do. But I could sit in the car and just hold her hand. I was like in love. And all of a sudden, reality hit after I got married. And that's all I'll say. I'm like, this is serious. This is the rest of my life with you. And she was saying the same thing about me. This loser, I married this loser and I'm stuck with him the rest of my life. But God, only God could make us happy like this. Only God. Because our help comes from Him, the maker of heaven and earth. Father, Lord, if there's sad people in here today, and I don't want one person today. If you want to come and pray, I'll pray for you. But it's not about that today. God put something in my heart today that there was people that were being tormented full of fear, that they couldn't have a vision. And the torment's been in your mind. Father, I'm asking you right now that this word that I spoke will minister life to people. I bind up the power of the enemy that's trying to destroy people's lives and torment people in Jesus' name. Now, Father God, I'm asking you, Lord, that you will encourage them, strengthen them, and you draw them. Because I don't make people feel guilty. I love people. That's my job. Your job, Lord, is to draw them to yourself. And I believe that you're helping every individual in here today. Everyone. Because I know the brokenness. I know in my heart. The brokenness and the hurt. And the dreams that have been shattered. And the disappointment. I see the disappointment. See, that's the pastor. That's the thing a pastor's gift. I know. Where you might have never told one person, I already know. But I know this too. Now that I've spoken this, I know this. You don't have to be like that anymore. Because there's an anointing here that will destroy and break that yoke and destroy it in Jesus' name. That you'll go out here a different person. And Father, I thank you and I praise you for that. And I give you glory for it. And I give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we thank you, we praise you for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thanks for coming.